I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 54. A look back at the tackles and touchdowns game, a 49-17 win over St. Lawrence, and ahead to the University of Rochester Centennial Cup. Remember, that's a noon game at Favre Stadium on WHWS. Joined once again by the coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Boy, that was finally like it. We've known that this team has had this in it all year, so what came together?
Yeah, I think the timing of the bye week helped. 2 weeks of preparation, we typically respond pretty well with that extra attention to detail. I think it was also great to kind of recharge their batteries. They came back from both the long bye weekend. We gave them some time to, you know, just get off their feet, relax, whether that was going home seeing family or whether that was just here on campus, have a chance to kind of exhale for a little bit. And, you know, we needed it, you know, based on where we were with injuries and just the, you know, back-to-back games where I think the emotions of the game, I think they needed to kind of unplug for a second and then recharge, and came back revitalized. That was my goal, and that's kind of the task at hand. I think, like I said, the extra week of preparation, I thought that gave the guys a really good chance to be confident in the game plan, and I think they went out and executed much better, and you know, no different than what we said a couple weeks ago. We executed better. I think that, so whether that's the preparation and time off that helped it, whether that was you know, I think we played you know, well in all three phases, you know, complementary football in terms of areas where the special teams made a couple plays. I thought it was really good to see the defense, you know, get some takeaways, get a stop there in the dead zone, and just, you know, offense responded and scored some points. And, you know, that was closer to what we thought this team could be. And, you know, the good news is as I tasked them with yesterday is I think we took steps forward, but we still had left a lot on. We left some really bad plays that kind of hurt us at moments in that game on Saturday that we want to learn from. And I think we will learn from those mistakes but also build off of the positive plays and the momentum that we had.
Was there any big speech or clipboard throwing or anything after the strip sack touchdown? Because we all just, you know, we load our shoulders and say, here we go again. You get a strip sack touchdown, you get a kickoff return and a penalty, you start at your own nine, and we're just going, boy, what is it with these guys?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And a huge part of that is, you know, a lot of respect for Jeremy Weiss, you know, in terms of how he handled it. You know, poor eyes on his part. He made a mistake. You know, obviously still early in his career. Didn't, you know, see a key that we had talked about all week long, and he missed it. So the ability to hold on the ball, he had an answer to throw that ball quicker before the pressure got to him. He didn't see it. He missed it. And on top of that, you know, that was set up by a block in the back, and it was kind of like, you're right. You know, the things that we had been able to do when we've been playing well is to limit the amount of mistakes. And, you know, unfortunately that was kind of, that poor field position was set up by a first year who was trying, the effort was good, but, you know, made a poor decision that pinned us back in. You know, we had two negative plays on first and second down that were like things we had practiced. Those were older offensive linemen missed some things. So now you're sitting here third and long backed up, and, you know, unfortunately Jeremy made the wrong read initially. But I give a lot of credit to him and honestly to the offense in particular for responding. You know, I think we got back the ball, and again, not necessarily in a great field position, but drove down the field, made some positive plays, tied the game up, and then really kind of, I think, scored on three or four possessions in a row that opened it up. And it really exploded in that second quarter, I think a 28-point second quarter that was really good to see the defense get a key stop down in the dead zone and then for us to turn around and then to get another stop, use our timeouts to then try to score right before half and not just, you know, score, but score touchdowns. And I think that was huge to kind of extend the lead on a pretty good St. Lawrence team. Like that was, they'd been playing really well. They had played teams tough and not a lot of teams were scoring at the rate we were at that point. So I thought it was good for our offense to execute and hopefully that builds some confidence on who we can be moving forward. Because there was guys making plays in there that, you know, you see a lot of sophomores, you see a lot of younger guys that were stepping up. Hopefully that gives them some experience to kind of build off of.
It was a game of momentum, and I really thought that answering drive was huge. Like you said, it was a good long ball control drive, all phases of the game clicking. If you hadn't scored there, it might have been a whole different day.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where we were the previous two league games. You know, before the bye, you think about the inauspicious start we had against Union and similar against RPI. And again, I think football is an emotional game, but it 100% is based off of rhythm and confidence and momentum. And, you know, I think sometimes you look around and someone's waiting for someone else to make a play, and ultimately really good teams, they find ways to make those little plays. And it doesn't have to be huge plays. We actually did hit a couple big plays, but that's not – I don't think that's who our identity is. I don't know if we have enough guys that on any given play that, you know, can go the 90 to 96 yards on some of those. But more importantly, the drives. You know, we had been in a situation in those earlier league games where we put together some drives that weren't always equal in points. And I think that was one of the good things I saw, is that we were able to finish off some drives, whether that was from 1 yard out or if it's, you know, a longer throw or a longer run. I really think the line of scrimmage, I know we talked about the sack there, but that wasn't on the O-line. That was on a quarterback's decision. I think the line of scrimmage, the defensive line, you know, started to, you know, create a little bit more in terms of negative plays. There was a forced fumble. I thought Billy Brosco did a really good job, and Hunter Voss and a couple of the other guys at the D-line, in terms of, you know, making them disruptive, because they had been moving the ball on teams. And obviously you saw the quarterback was really athletic, could make some plays with his feet. And, again, we hadn't done a great job getting teams to either force them to kick field goals or get stops down in the score zone on defense. And I thought that was a pretty key part of the game, where they could go in and they went for it on fourth and four and get stopped. And then the next play, that's a 14-point swing. And you're right. I think the momentum, and you could just feel it on our sideline, opposite of where we were the last time we were on the home field. You know, we're RPI. We just couldn't get out of our own way between the injuries and some negative plays on our part. It was the other way around. We really flipped the momentum around, and I think our guys really led into it, and our defense played like a refreshed defense, which was good. And again, I think we still have a handful of guys that were stepping in or playing different roles, as we talked about earlier, about, you know, guys playing different positions just because that's what's best for that unit right now based on some of the injuries and depth. I thought it was that extra week of preparation. I really liked how we responded, especially the second half of that bye week.
It's a team game. You win and lose as a team. But I feel compelled to mention some guys because there were so many in this game. So if I don't mention a name, it doesn't mean we didn't notice. And I want to start with one that a lot of fans might not have noticed and the league award people didn't notice. I thought Corey Rock played one of the best secondary games I have ever seen in 40-plus years of doing this.
Yeah, he's it's interesting because I think last year, you know, it was the first year he had a ton of interceptions and he kind of played well. You know, I think he and Zeeshan are two of the more athletic corners we have in the conference. You know, Zeeshan was playing a little bit more safety in this game, but again, talking about versatility. And I just think earlier in the year, you know, some teams had a little bit of success throwing at times, but it was a big play here or there. He's a guy that, like, when he's dialed in and focused, he has a chance to be a really, really good corner here. I think he's been inconsistent, and I think that's what we saw on Saturday, is that he played a more consistent game. And they tried to target his guy, which was their top receiver, twice down in the score zone, and he responded. But he also made some really good plays upfield too. So not a perfect game by any means, but definitely a step forward. And again, I think when we can play at all three levels of our defense, that's what we hadn't really been doing this year. There's been times where the coverage was good, but maybe we weren't able to get home with the rush, or vice versa, where, you know, we were committing a little bit more guys to the box and needed to stop the run, and then on the back end we kind of got a little undisciplined with our eyes. I thought our defense had a good, really good game plan and was much more cohesive in playing an 11 strong, and Corey was a huge part of that.
And a tip of the hat to the coaching there, too. We were holding our breaths on a couple of those balls in the end zone for interference, but they don't call it very much anymore. He had little jersey tugs, little tiny bumps, but yeah, he knew what he could get away with and not draw that flag.
Yeah, a couple of those calls have gone against us earlier in the year, and again, their defense was doing the same. I think as long as officials call it evenly, I'm on board with it. And I think a lot of times early in the game, you want to see how an officiating crew is going to call it. Some games they've been a little bit more tic-tac. Some they've been a little bit more letting the kids play. Down there in those 50-50 balls, I think as long as the defensive back is trying to play the ball, I think that was the key part. And, you know, with his length, he's a tough one sometimes to throw that fade against.
Three more guys you talked about a little bit, the defensive line, especially Brosco, Dilibo, and Voss. I mean, there were plays all day long where Dilibo would stand somebody up, Brosco would finish him off. Three tackles for loss, forced and recovered a fumble, and that was just a great D-line game.
Yeah, I think based on how they were trying to attack us in the run game, they did a little bit with the quarterback be able to run or pass based off of what the defense was showing. So I think with us trying to disguise it a little bit on the back end, but I thought that was the thing that maybe we've been missing on a couple of those earlier games was just that a negative play here or there. It's tough as an offense to go down 10, 12, 14, 15, 18 play drives unless you're just positive, positive, positive play. So every time you get a negative play, as we've seen, unfortunately, on our end, sometimes that can kind of, kill a drive. And I think that's what we were able to do is get a running team. They came in running the ball. And I don't think they were able to establish the run as well as St. Lawrence had hoped. And I think that was a huge part of how the defensive line was a little bit more disruptive. And every now and then getting a negative play or pushing it where penetration, we didn't get as many sacks, but we were making the quarterback kind of have to leave the pocket and not feel comfortable where he was throwing. So, yeah, I think those three and really the D-line as a whole, I think they kind of embodied the idea of, the group mentality. And I think that's something we're going to need, obviously, this week going forward. It was a team that's going to try to establish line of scrimmage. But, if we're going to play defense at a championship level, it starts with up front. And I think hopefully there's a lot of those guys you mentioned they're all coming back is to kind of build off of the experience they have. Let's see if we can now add it to this next game and take it a step forward.
Before we talk about the 96-yard pass, the longest in Hobart history, that stop on downs was your first red zone stop on downs of the year.
That's not good, but it is good that it happened in that game. But I give a lot of credit, even from a coaching staff, we started that first Tuesday practice coming out of the bye. The first thing we did was score zone and dead zone, and just knew that was an area when we've been a championship style team. Typically we're scoring seven more than we're going to score three and vice versa. Our defense, and you saw it last year, you see it in past years. Typically we're a little bit more, harder to score on in there, and I think that's a sign of a little bit of the injuries and depth that they've had to go against. But I also think that was a step in the right direction in terms of just the will to say you're going to have to earn every inch, even when you get down here. Because honestly, I thought we should have stopped them on the fourth down play prior that got them down there. That's where all of a sudden, if you give up a play, it's easy to kind of But no, they dug their toes in the ground and said, no, you're not Carlson. And that's a sign of the mindset of what we want of a tenacious defense.
Jordan Nolan goes up and makes a great leaping grab on that long ball. Defender falls down, takes it in, gets wide open on a coverage breakdown for a second touchdown. And then I'm pretty sure, was he the one who forced the fumble on the next kickoff?
He was, yeah.
So that's a good day's work.
Yeah, and Jordan's been one of those guys, steady and just super consistent in his effort. And, had been playing more in the slot, and we just thought we needed a little bit more, production from our outside receiver. So, and we've had a couple guys that have done some good things there, but again, another guy who's, had two really good weeks of practice, and, just to show the guys on the team that, we're constantly evaluating, who's performing and consistency, and I think in particular, his chemistry with Jeremy is strong, and I think that's the thing. Jeremy's done a really good job with a handful of the receivers to kind of work on his own outside to kind of establish that chemistry, and you can't fake it, And I think there was a couple times where, there was a throw earlier in the game, Jeremy threw it before Jordan even looked, which is what the trust and timing you need in a really good passing offense. So, you think about Jeremy's start, obviously the poor read, he gets the sack, fumble, how he responded, and that's just a testament to who he is. Jordan's very similar in terms of there was a play or two earlier in the season I'm sure he wants back, but he stayed the course. And again, I think both those guys, similar, have the character and resolve that, all right, a negative play, all right, so what, let's go on to the next play. And they perform well together, and I think that was really neat. And some of those, that 96-yard pass, no one's really talking about it. The pass protection was phenomenal, and they did a blitz. They stunted. There was two or three guys that won a really good one-on-one block to give Jeremy the time to throw it, and then obviously Jordan making a really good catch, and then obviously the run after the catch. So the thing I'm probably most proud of, people talked about the stats and all that, was his ability to fly down and kick off cover, and he was an impact in that. But to then force the fumble, and that play to me sums up Jordan more than just a touchdown pass.
one other receiver that's on the same page is Johnny Harding. That was the Johnny we saw last year. I mean, that great touchdown catch. He caught the ball at about the 2 or 3, froze the defender, spun out of him, and walks in.
Yeah, they went to a man-to-man coverage. And again, I smirk here and smile because we had run that exact rep on Thursday's practice when we were working our score zone. And, you know, there's a lot of different answers. I mean, there's the way they were playing the coverage, there was a couple different ways he could have went with the ball. And we talked through, and this is the pride I have in the process with Jeremy, is he had a good option, but we talked about how, like, that matchup against Harding with a linebacker might be a better option. And his ability to take that, understand, process it, and then when given that same opportunity on Saturday, he executed and came off, and it was like I gave him a big high five and hug, just saying, like, that's exactly what we talked about, and his ability to execute. And I think that's what's cool about, like, what I see as a coach and what we see as a staff is, like, you know, the more that you can get those experiences and those chemistries, the better we're going to hopefully project, you know, this week and moving forward. And, you know, you talked about Johnny Harding is another one that we got to find ways to get the ball in his hands. And, you know, I think he has been productive, but there was a couple of games where, you know, just some of the, you know, movements of the O-line and the quarterback, we weren't able to get the ball on the perimeter to, you know, a couple of the receivers you mentioned and others. And I think that's where the balance we had, you know, in the offense, you saw both run and pass. When we show up, that's going to equal more points, where we didn't quite have that balance as consistently as I was hoping for in some of the earlier league games.
It's probably the healthiest tight end group you had all year, and we saw what Luke Hescock can do after the catch. You had the one play, he kind of stayed in and threw a little chip block, leaked out over the middle, caught about a 4-yard pass, and then tacked on about another 20 after the catch.
Yeah, I joked around with them when we were watching film on Sunday. They looked like Reggie Bush out there, and they chuckled, and then I had to ask the guys if they knew who Reggie Bush was. But most of the guys did. But, yeah, Luke's been actually, like, I thought he actually played pretty well the previous games, and just the way that some of the defensive designs were protecting more of the inside of the field, it was tougher to get the tight end the ball in some of our route schemes. And it's amazing how, like, the more productive our outside receivers are, obviously that opens up the inside of the field. And we know that it's just a matter of our ability to be efficient on offense, to stretch teams, you know, the whole 53 yards wide. And obviously the vertical passing game opens up things underneath it. And on that play, you know, and that's where, like, Luke and some of the other tight ends might not always get the respect they deserve, is they're a huge part of our pass protections and helping out, you know, what's been a pretty damaged O-line group in terms of health and all that. The tight ends, honestly, since week one have always been a huge part of that. You know, they're key in our run game. They're key in our pass protections. And we know that we can throw to those guys. And, you know, Luke's a really reliable target for Jeremy and for all the quarterbacks.
You mentioned it earlier, the offensive line, there were some of those pass plays that Weiss had time to scan the whole group of receivers twice. I mean, there were 3 or 4 times he had 7-8 seconds to throw.
Yeah, and that's and that's why we actually gave the game ball to Ashton Mejias. On top of, you know, you mentioned a lot of names offensively and defensively that had really productive days. Part of that's a body of work. You know, he's gotten better. He's coming back from that injury earlier in the year that I don't think he was playing at the level that he wanted to be or where he was last year. You know, I thought the bye week and his preparation, he played physical, he played in balance. You know, he missed, you know, as any old lineman, you're never going to play a perfect game necessarily, but we just thought, like, the body of work and his ability to, you know, be a leader up front in terms of how he's been able to perform, you know, was really important. And then really a couple other guys, we rotated some guys through. We're still trying to evaluate what group kind of works the best. And, you know, in the previous couple games, we've been given too much penetration up the middle of the field, you know, where quarterbacks, you know, weren't able to step through the pocket. And, you know, that's going to be a big challenge for us this week because they have some really capable inside defenders that are going to try to attack that A and B gap. And really it's tough. And Jeremy, for any quarterback, to be able to step into throws when somebody's right there in your face, you see that from the NFL down. So we, you know, we talked about the tight ends inserting, the running backs inserting, and obviously the O-line, the ability to be able to, like, just trust that Ashton can kind of take care of that by himself and help, you know, with the left guard and the center inside. That's been huge. And, you know, I think some of those best throws, or even some, I mean, it was a pretty efficient day. Jeremy broke the record for most efficient days. There was a couple records broken on Saturday, but I think he's aware and wise enough to know that, it comes down to how well the guys play up front. And so that's why on Sunday, oftentimes we like to really acknowledge everyone can see the guys with the big, you know, the sack, the interceptions, but maybe it's that guy up front that was in that quarterback's face that forced that, or on the offensive side of the ball. You know, we have some pretty decorated skill guys, you know, and, you know, EJ is going to get his yards, and he was really productive in that day. And, you know, Taj got his first touchdown, and Cotter, there was a really good group of running backs running. And then you mentioned, like, obviously Jordan's day and Harding and a lot of these other guys. But we really think it all starts and ends with the O-line and D-line. And there's not coincidentally, we're talking about the O-line, D-line played better. And what do you know, the result is better. So if we can continue to be really competitive and aggressive and win the fronts, I think that's going to put us in a much better chance to win games.
EJ Taylor, you roll him out there behind whatever kind of damaged offensive line you have, and he gets 100 yards almost every week.
Yeah, he was productive, and I think, you know, they did a couple things in the early in the third quarter that kind of stymied a little bit of the run, but I really think, you know, he's a hard runner. He really takes pride in you know, knowing the run schemes and how defenses are trying to fit into it. And honestly, like, even in this game, they're blitzing safeties, they're rolling guys down. You know, he has not really seen a defense that's kind of laid back and, like, given him easy yards. And that's going to be the case, you know, for the rest of his career, likely. But, you know, the more productive he is, that's what's opening up things for, you know, Jeremy and Jordan to have some of those outside connections, and guys like Marcus and Luke and Tristan, some of the guys that are on the perimeter, they're getting more one-on-ones, whether that's man or zone. You're getting a lot more open coverages on the outside, which is where we were a little too inconsistent with some of the changing parts of the pass protections in the quarterback play earlier in the year. That was a little bit more consistent on Saturday. And again, it's going to be tested this week. Because I think this is a very interesting matchup, the next opponent, in terms of where their strengths lie in defense. And, you know, some of the things that we did well on Saturday are going to be tested with one of the better defenses we're going to face.
One more name, and then we'll get to Jeremy Weiss's day. But another one the fans might not have noticed, True Styles. Take us through the 29-yard touchdown run by E.J. Taylor, because was that a run-pass option? He sold that beautifully. And
no, that was a run-run option.
Okay.
Yeah, so True, just and again, like, he's playing well. I know, you know, obviously Jeremy had a statistically a great day and very deserving, but, you know, I think part of that was the two of those guys, and they've embraced it right now. That they do a really good job preparing together. You know, both have been battling health. Both have been battling, obviously, the ability for our protection schemes so that they can step into throws. But on that play, you know, he had a chance to read one of the defenders. And, again, two names, Lucas Ruby and Tristan Reynolds, were the two at the point of attack with really good blocks that now spring, you know, that run. But True did exactly what he was supposed to do. He read it correctly, read the defender, and, you know, I think a lot of people think he's in to run it. He's very capable of throwing, and, you know, I think that's the fun part about it, is, like, the more balanced we can be as an offense, him in particular, as well as Jeremy, both able to run and throw it, that's going to give us a much better chance to attack really good defenses.
All right, my stat geek number of the week. On his last four passes in the second quarter, Weiss was 4 for 4 for 180 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he had time to throw, but he made great decisions, and he delivered that ball. I mean, you mentioned Tristan Reynolds. We hadn't talked about that catch he made over on the sideline. He delivered the ball all day long. That is a game.
Yeah, and you think about it again, like, it wasn't necessarily the best start, and I think that's where other people maybe would have been a little less confident and all that. And the cool thing about Jeremy, and I really appreciate that, is as soon as he came off, you talked about, like, earlier, there wasn't throwing of the clipboard, there wasn't any speeches. It was just more like looking him in the eye, talking through, and just making sure that, like, as a coach, am I doing my best to help prepare him for what he saw and what he was going to see? And we're big on, like, the next play. All right, learn from every play, learn from every moment. You know, don't let the emotions get too high, too low. And I think both Jeremy and True at the quarterback have that. Actually, our entire quarterback room for the most part has it. And that's the style of quarterback that I appreciate the most, is get excited when you need to. You don't never get too down. So, like, whether you're up 3 scores, whether you're down a score, shouldn't change. All right, on to the next play. And we talk about the ability to really process that information and then apply it to the next one. Well, on any given play, a quarterback is responsible for 22 individuals. And to do that, I don't think if you get too emotional, I think sometimes that skews your ability to do that. And Jeremy had a really good week of practice as well as True. That's why Jeremy got the start. And I think his ability to early in the game, we talk through, because every game you're going to get some nuances or some things that are specific that a defense is trying to throw at you. And I think that's what I really appreciate. We talk with the O-line. What did you see? What techniques? Okay, how's our adjustment? Tight ends, running backs? What do you guys see in receivers? And that's why those conversations in the V on the sideline after each series are so imperative, whether that's a 45-second and a process a lot of information in 45 seconds, whether it's a two-minute conversation. You know, those meetings aren't long, but the ability to really communicate and have trust at what they're seeing, and then we be able to, as a staff, you know, listen, assess, and then kind of give some feedback. Jeremy, I thought, did a fantastic job, and we literally talked through, and you talked about those that last two drives. That's a lot with film preparation and our week of preparation. We had a plan. We executed the plan, and then obviously players like Tristan with that big catch and, you know, the protections, and then Jordan Nolan on the touchdown, and like it all has to come together, but that doesn't happen if there's not trust in the process. And the really good thing, like I said, about Jeremy and True was I think they had a really good week of preparation and had an idea of what we were going to see and what we wanted to do against those different looks. And it wasn't just one look. It was multiple looks. There was a couple things, even in the flow of the game, talking to the O-line and tight ends about maybe adjusting some of our run blocking schemes or pass protection schemes. That's the stuff that I love and I just get enamored with as a coach, is like the ability to help teach these guys in those moments and then see how they execute it and then see the confidence that comes. Like afterwards, the hugs and everything else, like that's why we coach, to see our guys be successful and you know, hopefully learn from those opportunities. So whether that's, what I would say it was a really bad start for us, was able to then be able to show that toughness, that mental resolve to say, all right, now on to the next play, and then be able to finish as efficient as Jeremy did. That was really, really good to see.
So one thing before we go on to Rochester, and that on the missed field goal return for the touchdown, it looked almost like the guys weren't really thinking that a return was going to happen. It kind of, he was out to about the 30-yard line before anybody really got after him.
Yeah, that's I'm going to take some of the blame on that because ultimately I made that decision. And I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but I think Colin understood that he wasn't prepared for that moment. He was prepared, but mentally he wasn't ready for that moment. He missed that kick more than he's ever missed a kick. Like, we've made that kick numerous times. I wouldn't have put him in that situation had he not been able to do that. On Thursday, he made that very similar kick from about another 7-8 yards back, you know, in terms of how much he made that kick. So, unfortunately, it was a really poor kick. And again, I have trust in Colin. That's why I put him out there. We had two or three of our guys go right away. They just took a really bad angle, and that unit is built for protection, not for speed. Honestly, probably my 26 years, that's probably one of the few times that's ever actually come into fruition. So I'm going to take the blame for it because I put them in that situation, but our kicker missed the kick so bad that should have been out the back of the end zone. If he misses it, it's more wide. I just think he wasn't mentally ready for that moment, even though we've talked about it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The actual unit itself, one of our guys, you know, we have usually our O-linemen, we have a couple extra O-linemen on there built for protection. They took a poor angle, but more our first guy or fourth guy has got to make sure that doesn't get to the sideline. And he knew it. He missed it. And then once it's there, we really only have two or three guys that are probably going to make a tackle against, you know, an athletic returner, and that was one of the returners they put back there. So had the score been much closer, I wasn't going to do it, but that was trying to show confidence and the ability for, at some point moving forward, if we need to make that, Colin was going to be the guy to do that. I wanted him to have that game experience. That was his first field goal attempt, so a part of it, you know, could have been nerves, could have been a lot of things, but he admitted that he wasn't necessarily ready in that moment. He was ready going into it. So I think it's a really good teachable lesson, but that was 100% one of those plays where we're like, that can't happen. Not to a good team. If we're going to try to win games, I got to know that when we put everyone out there, one, that we're going to be able to operate the way that we had been all week long and honestly all season long to a certain extent. I think that was one of those moments we talked about on Sunday where we can be better and we need to be better.
This Rochester team is 5-2, coached by Chad Martinovich, Hobart guy. We know what he did with MIT, and he's been evolving this team in the last couple of years. Rochester, historically, we kind of think of them as high scoring, can't stop anybody. This team is solid defensively.
Yeah, number one scoring defense right now in our conference. Not a lot of people are scoring on them. And, you know, really minus the one game at RPI where RPI jumped on them, it's been their defense who's kind of leading the way. Like last week, you know, they take an interception, pick six, they score first. So their defense is not only just holding people down, but the amount of takeaways, they're number one for interceptions. And, you know, the hardest to throw against. There's a lot of different things on why they're holding people back. And it's a combination of experience at the right positions and, you know, steady. I mean, they have strength at all three phases of the D-line, the linebackers, and the DBs. And I just think they've done a good job with their offense that's more of a running offense. They've used two or three different quarterbacks. A couple of them are runners. You know, they have a couple dynamic offensive guys, and they're able to score points, but they're able to either win or by trying to control the ball, you know, less possessions for the other team. And then their defense is getting not only just key stops, but I think it's the takeaways and the scoring by the defense alone. That reminds me a lot of our defense last year that was, you know, holding people down, scoring, and then creating short fields for the offense. That's a pretty good recipe to win games.
I think when you're on defense, it's really going to be a down and distance game. They want to run. You want to get them in third and eight and make them throw it.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think that was one of our advantages against St. Lawrence is that we were able to get them in some third and longs. When you look at it, the previous two games, our opponents, we defensively were not winning first and second down, and they were in third and shorts, third and makeables. Teams were able to stay a little heavier in the run. And as we continue to try to get some health back at the linebacker position and in the back end, you know, that was one of the things that I don't think we were necessarily fitting in the run as well as we needed to those previous couple games. And so that'll be a huge part because we need to tackle better than we've been doing. We need to be able to fit in the run. And I think if we do that, you know, I know they're still going to be committed to running, but they're very capable. They have a couple different receivers that are talented. They have a tight end they like to throw to, and we're going to have to do a really good job understanding like which quarterback's in and what style of offense is that quarterback running, because they've really used three different quarterbacks at times throughout the year. But yeah, our defense is going to be challenged with it. I also think it's going to be really important on our end, which is, like you said, you know, both defenses want to keep it as a low scoring game, is can our offense generate enough production early to make sure that our defense felt like they were on Saturday, where we can go score points. And again, when we give our defense a lead, that's typically where we want to be. We don't want to be playing from behind. It just allows us to stay as balanced as we want to be on offense. And really, the two games where we weren't able to stay as balanced were the two games we fell behind early. Even though I was stubborn to still try to run it and keep EJ and our running backs involved, it just eventually, mathematically, it becomes like you need to move the ball at a quicker pace. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good test to see which defense can establish or stop the run, which offense can kind of establish the run. And then ultimately, who can maximize and create plays to score, because I think the other offense is going to be pressed to figure out how they're going to score against the other defense at that point.
Centennial Cup game. These two teams have been playing since the leather helmet days. 12 noon kickoff on 105.7 WHWS. And like you said early on, I think looking back, the bye week was as important mentally for this team as it was physically.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the physical rest was good, but I think it's more of a clean start, refresh, and you know, it sounds easy to kind of refresh it after any game, but like, it's a long season. Our guys have been here since early August, and I think when you really count in the amount of injuries and the amount of moving parts, it was kind of we didn't have as many this past game, and that was like, even for the coaches, it kind of like felt different, because it's like every week we feel like we were finding different ways to add duct tape or plug a hole and find different ways to try to give our guys the best opportunity to put them in positions to be successful. And I think the guys see that, and again, we challenged them, and I think that was really neat. We made some changes off the field and on the field that you know, some people will see, some won't, and I think we saw some certain guys responded. And you know, I think challenge is a really good thing. I think there's areas for growth, and I think it was really awesome to see how some of those changes helped our guys this past week. And now we're going back and have hopefully put together a really good game plan. But it's about the players, about the execution, it's about them, And I was just really excited to see that the work they put in showed out on Saturday. It helps them trust that where we're going with this thing, and I'm talking about where we're going this week into next week. You know, eventually we're going one week, 1-0 at a time, and we're working on it'll be a hard fought, hopefully 1-0 this week as we head to Rochester.
All right. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, et cetera. And, of course, it's also on HWSathletics.com where you can find all your athletics news for Hobart and William Smith Sports. Coach, thanks as always. Keep the ball rolling.
You got it. Thanks, Ted.